the stats, the salt, the sanity. And every so often, they talk about sports, too.
Here is Eric Dorsch, Russ Ivanek, and Justin Marcus. This is Armchair Sports Talk.
All right, well, let's lead this off in the easiest way possible. We're doing a quick little show for you guys here on Armchair Sports Talk, and no sports, so it's kind of tough to talk about. But, Jay, I'll ask you, in this quarantine, what are you watching, man? Like, what are you actually doing to pass the time when it comes to, have you found anything sports-related to get in?
Oh, yeah. I've watched the Red Wings had a good documentary on NHL about the Joe Louis Arena. That was pretty dope. A couple 30 for 30s. I saw people chopping wood today over on TSN. That was pretty cool. And then, I don't know, I've entered like the part of quarantine where every day literally feels like the same day. And I'm trying to get myself out of my own loop, if you will. If you watch Westworld, you'll get that reference. But
I do, and I appreciate it.
You got that Groundhog Day thing happening for you, where it's just the same day over and over again.
I got you. I'm looking for new material, hence the chopping of wood.
Okay, all right, Rusty. What about you, man? Is there anything sports related you can watch other than ESPN over and over again telling us the next thing we were looking forward to has been canceled?
I would just warn against the chopping of wood, though. Just remember, these violent delights have violent ends.
My man.
Just gotta throw that out there. I'm actually watching wise. Like, hey, I pulled up some recordings of some old NHL games here and there, but sure. I'm just kind of doing the regular Russ thing where I'm digging into numbers and don't do that. I went and looked at every Detroit sports team through history, and win percentage wise, this is the worst season ever. So don't do that.
Don't do that. Me personally, I have, this should be no surprise to either of you. I've watched every Masters and US Open since we were born on YouTube because they have them in full.
Oh, my good God.
I know, I reached a real bad point about 2 days ago where all I needed was golf. So I had the golf channel on while having golf on YouTube on my laptop while having golf on my phone. If it was golf, I was watching, and I'm pretty sure I watched an LPGA instructional video just to get golf. So,
I feel you. I forgot who it was. I watched a guy give different techniques of coming out of a bunker for about 45 minutes the other day.
I'm telling you, like, I've watched hockey. This saved me last night. I'm at work and they had a Steve Nash and the Suns against Jason Kidd and the Nets from when we were in high school playing each other. And it was just the most classic basketball because it's what I grew up watching. So I knew every player on both teams, and it was amazing. It was so amazing. If I had had a cigarette, it would have been sex. it's getting tough. It is getting tough. Obviously we're going to talk free agency as much as we can, but, I guess the thing to lead it off with, and Russ, I'll go to you first here, is, you know, with all everything that is happening, obviously everybody's trying to be safe, but we got to start wondering, when we look back like 5-10 years from now, how weird is 2020, at least for the first 6 months, going to look in the way of sports? We have no NBA champion. More than likely we won't until, you know, later in the year. We'll have no NHL champion until later in the year. There have been no majors. The Olympics have been pushed for a year. We're wondering if baseball is even going to happen. I mean, first time in our lives, we might not see any sports for an entire year just out of safety.
Yeah, this is going to be – we're going to talk about this for a very long time. I'll put it that way, because this feels like – I mean, March feels like it's been 3 years long already.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even at the peak of this stuff yet. Mm-hmm. It's going to get so much worse before it gets better. Like, the NHL has already postponed their combine, their award show, and their draft. Which wouldn't have happened until after the conclusion of the season in the summer. So we're already canceling things 3 months out. There's a long way to go, and even if they button everything up, we're going to feel this ripple into next year. Mm-hmm. And does it push out seasons next year? Does this change how we do things? We're going to be able to talk about this probably for the rest of our natural lives, and then it'll be a case study after that. It's super interesting what's going on. It's terrible. It's not good in any way. Sports world's kind of broken right now. It's not just paused, but we can get stronger where we're broken. And I'd love some of these leagues to go and attack, like, the TV market. How do you give your digital medium to people? Like, the leagues that are going to come out okay are the leagues that are going to be forward thinking and take care of their players, come back when it's necessary, but get better at their TV product, right? Like, let's not have 20 games and three start times in a day. Like, figure that out, NHL. Like, that's a real opportunity when you're sitting around on your, you know, with your thumb up your ass as a manager of a team, as an owner. Figure out how you can attack better. And we really could see a lot of changes outside of the obvious come out of this.
Oh, absolutely. I've read there have been proposals for the NBA to just play the games in practice facilities, so it would almost feel like an open gym kind of thing, which right. As a basketball fan, I think that'd be amazing to watch. But at the same time, I understand. But it is one of those things where the leagues need to understand we're all supporting, we're waiting, we're being, you know, as patient as we can about this for the safety reason. When you come back, and I agree with you, you need to make sure you tailor this thing to the fans, because they're the ones that have been had to sit here and wait. These players, you know, they all want to play, but at the same time, it's no skin off their back. We're the ones that live and thrive through this, and to have to spend X amount of months not seeing it, you absolutely need to take a look at everything and try to tailor it so that we could say, hey, we're back. We missed you. This is for you kind of thing. Because I don't know about you, Jay, turning on these sports channels and seeing the same thing on ESPN for the fourth day in a row, or, you know, seeing college basketball games that happened 20 years ago because that's all we can show, is just, it's absolutely excruciating.
It is. And then, you know, the thing that I keep thinking about is, you know, we hit a peak and we start to regress in this model of a virus, and the government, big business, small business, sports, schools, everyone's like waiting. In my opinion, I think everyone's waiting to be like, all right, who's going to go in the pool first type deal. Like, we're going to regress and someone's going to want to get ahead of someone else and declare, oh, it's safe to do A, it's safe to do B. And people are going to start trying to, you know, people need to make money. Russ is talking about the TV contracts. You're talking about the fan base is sitting down to watch something on television that's not the same thing over again. I'm interested on that regression of the model, when people are going to say, yep, we're going to do this. And it sounds like NFL is going to be that first sport, because they don't want to change a damn thing, which it is typical NFL. Like, I get it. They're going to make some adjustments to what they do. They're like, someone pooped in the sports pool and they're staying in the water. And I don't understand how they get away with that. I don't know. I'm more interested in how things are going to shake out once things start to regress. Who's going to be first? Who's going to go too early? Who's going to wait too long? Because that's the reality when we come back down from this virus curve that we're on. And I want something different on my television, damn it.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. Now, I want to ask.
It's got to be the right time.
Jay, you kind of led me into my next point. Speaking of not wanting to change. We have the draft like 3 or 4 weeks from now, assuming we have the draft 3 or 4 weeks ago. You know, we do, like last year we did draft coverage all the way through the first round, something we've been talking about trying to do, if not doing a little more with it. And I'll ask you both, but Russ, I'll let you go first here. When we talk about this, I mean, is the NFL basically going to have to boil this down to you're sticking two sports anchors at a desk and they're just going to announce and break down the pick, and we're not going to see the big flashy show of walking across the stage, shaking the commissioner's hand? It's pretty much just going to be two guys at an ESPN desk or a host and an analyst, and they're going to say, with the first pick, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals select Joe Burrows. Oh, well, Joe Burrows is a great pick, yada, yada, yada. And that's all we're going to get out of draft coverage this year?
I think it is, and honestly, I think it could be an improvement. Like, what is the one thing – in the last 5 years, the one thing that's pissed me off the most about the NFL draft is – All right, the Lions are on the pick, and the cameraman is showing this player hugging his mom. I guess we know what's going to happen.
Yes, I get you.
Right, and I don't need to watch a player walk up to the stage and do his little photo op with Roger Goodell. I don't care for it, and we don't even do it later in the draft.
Anyways, oh, no.
There's zero reason we can't do the draft like they used to, and it's all one thing. A lot of it's handled by telephone. Like, this can be done virtually. You can put out a better product. These players have played multiple years of college football. Play some of that when they get selected, like they do now. Just do it more. Be challenged to do better. Like, this, the draft, in my mind, you can get away with it.
I think you can get away with it. Believe me, I'm not trying to.
It doesn't even need to be postponed.
Oh, no. I'm not trying to say you can't get away with it. But for me, it's more of that, like, it's almost, and we're going to get to this topic here in a minute, but it's almost like you worked your whole life for that moment, and you're kind of taking away 1 year's opportunity to have that moment. I mean, even though it's a very insignificant thing when you boil it all down to the contracts you're going to make and the opportunities that are going to open for you, it's that moment of hearing your name called, being able to walk across the stage, hold the jersey, smile on that. It's a moment that lets you know, hey, everything I've done up until this point has led to me being here. And, well, we don't have that. You know, when you hired in at Ford, you didn't walk across the stage, shake the hand of the president of Ford and hold up a calculator. So it's just one of those things where
it was actually a protractor.
My fault. But I get that. And I mean, Jay, I don't know where you stand on all this, but for me, it is kind of, As much as I can like it, I do like a little bit of that flash, but I agree with you. It'd be just as easy to stick Rich Eisen and a scout at a desk and tell them, okay, you know, Washington selected this person. Well, Eisen's going to let them know, and then they're going to let the analyst give you his 2 cents on it. I agree with you that you could really simplify it, but, you know, this is the NFL. We want to do everything as big as we can for no apparent reason, Justin.
Yep, money.
Yeah, they have to find a way to make it entertaining, because if they're going to limit players and hugging and photos and attendance, like, put 2 funny-ass people at a desk 6 feet apart.
Oh, yeah.
And then put an analyst in the background. Like, Mel Kiper can chime in, like, every 9 minutes. And put, like, Pat McAfee.
I was just about to say Pat McAfee. And, yeah, put that.
And put someone hilarious at that desk with him. And let them chop it up, and someone will say, yeah, well, on a serious note, this is why the Lions need this player, because they suck ass. Like, they can make it valuable to some effect, but I don't know. I just want them to cancel it. Like, I want them to struggle in every other aspect as everyone else, but that's
but I agree with you to the fact of, if you're going to do this, you have to do it that way. You need that established journalist that we all know, kind of like, you know, Rich Eisen, who's in the NFL at all times, who can steer the ship in the way that the network wants him to steer it. Then you need that analyst like Kiper or McShay, who's watched everybody 100,000 times and can speak intelligently on them. And then you need Pat McAfee, someone who played in the NFL, had an effective NFL career, but is also a great analyst who people like listening to, because that's going to draw in our generation to listen to Pat McAfee have these one-liners off of both these two, because I like Pat, but I don't think Pat can host the NFL draft right now. He's just not that established that the NFL or ESPN is going to risk that with him. But I agree with you. Get someone entertaining on there, because the Twitter, you're going to get more hits on Twitter than you are probably on the actual channel just off of Pat McAfee. So I agree with you there. My next topic, and it's just a quick little one before we get into free agency, is – I mentioned, you know, you worked your whole life for this. I want to ask you both, and Jay, you can go first here. Thoughts on the petitions that are out there for college athletes to get one more year of eligibility because of the fact that half these sports are missing out on chances for seasons or championships?
It's no different than a senior who was not able to walk across a stage, or a senior in high school who didn't get to play their last game. It sucks. It's unfortunate. I feel for them. But at the same time, there's bigger issues happening in this country with people dying, realizing how terrible we are in very dense populations with germs and sanitizing. Like, those people, it sucks for them. But I would say tough shit. Like, we're all suffering in one way or another. I don't want to placate to a very small group of people. I would just continue on, and we pick up the ball, the hockey puck, the stick, as we would when the season started.
Okay. And I've heard this mentioned, not a lot, but I've heard it mentioned, and I want your opinion on it. And then, Russ, you can go here. Thoughts on – because most of these guys and girls, I mean, you have the WNBA, you have professional softball and all that. I'm not taking them out of this. Most of these guys are not going to be contributors week one in baseball, maybe in NBA. Thoughts about them saying that if they do decide to do the tournament later in the year, about these guys, even if they got drafted, being able to come back and play in the tournament if they want to?
There's probably a lot of legality.
There's a ton, especially for the NBA, because a lot of these guys, but it also gives those, you know, it also gives those undrafted guys a chance to make one, you know, one really, really big run in the tournament and get noticed and get on a team.
Man, I feel like, you know what, It is unfortunate, but it's the reality we live in. And the sooner we start going forward, the less we'll forget about this very small point in time.
I get you.
You know, not forget, but just move on.
Oh, I totally get you. I mean, yeah, I completely understand. Russ, what about you? Thoughts on these guys getting another opportunity in college, getting an extra year, maybe even just saying, hey, you don't get an extra year. You get the tournament kind of thing. We'll give you a chance to play in the tournament.
I think I'm on the exact opposite end of the spectrum as Justin on this one. I'm 100% okay with them having the option. Here's the dirty little secret of that. A lot of the kids, probably not going to.
Oh, no.
Especially when you're talking about the money sports, like football and baseball, some of those kids were there to fulfill their requirement to be eligible for the draft. Cool, right? That's your path. You follow it. But some of the other kids, some of the other fringe sports, like I think if a college sports season was interrupted by this, yeah, give them the option for one more year of eligibility. Some of them, I mean, we're talking about some sports, like some baseball and softball programs. This is interrupted, and if they wanted to come back next year, they would have had to do the same thing they did this year and pay for the entire thing themselves. If they want to do that again, sure. I have zero problem with that. The world sucks right now. We don't have to make it suck more. This doesn't really hurt anybody to give a little more hope or maybe one last hurrah for a kid who has to go be an accountant now. Like, give me nothing but spreadsheets.
Listen, the only thing I see it affecting in the way of a lot of these sports is just rosters are limited to specific numbers. You don't get to carry.
Right, and there has to be some exemptions.
You also have freshmen coming in the fall that are promised spots on basketball teams, on golf teams, on hockey, on baseball teams, on softball teams. And listen, you're talking to a guy who's married to a former college athlete. Aaron and I have talked about this extensively. If this had happened in 2010, 2011, she doesn't get to play in the championships that she spent all season practicing for and working for. So I completely get it from that aspect. But I think as much as these guys should be given some kind of opportunity, whether it is just, hey, you're going to have the tournament in August, we'll do it from August to the end of September, or you know, something here or there. I think something needs to be done, but I just, like I said, unless you're going to tell the NCAA, hey, you got to open rosters. You got to say, a basketball team can now carry 20 people instead of, 12. Because you can't take away, because then if you do that, you're also taking away those freshmen's eligibility, saying, hey, you got to sit for your first year. Not that freshmen wouldn't be sitting, but there are a couple freshmen that come in, Zion Williams, those kind of guys who immediately play and are an immediate impact.
Right. No, that's a very good point. And you would need an exemption status for teams for that year. Like, say it's, hey, 2 months before the season starts or whatever, you have to file your exemption status. It has to get approved. And that's how much your roster and your scholarship limit gets jumped by for that season. Something like football? No, we're not talking about it because their season completed.
But see, with football, football already has this in place because football has red shirts. You can redshirt for a season. Almost are opening up to the fact that all sports now get red shirts. But then you run into this thing of, if you have a kid who was, is a freshman coming in and they were expected to be the next big thing and replace the senior or junior that's leaving. Now you run into, well, are we going to open up the transfer portal for everyone who now that kid doesn't want to sit for a year and wait? Oh, I mean, it's true though. We've seen it before where, guys don't want to sit and wait nowadays. They want to be the one playing right now.
Right. No, that is the tricky part, but that's where I'm willing to make the compromise and bite the bullet because, hey, you want to be the freshman, come over and take the spot. Go take it.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm okay with them having to earn their spot more than I'm okay with a senior not getting a chance to keep their spot.
Are you like screaming the word meritocracy into my ears right now? Like, am I hearing Jim Harbaugh?
I mean, I'm wearing sweatpants, not khakis, so it's not quite the same deal.
Oh, wait, by the way, if we can just spin off on that real quick, I'm wearing jeans right now. Biggest mistake of this stay at home.
How are you bound?
I have
jeans.
Yeah.
What are you?
I'm sitting here in jeans. I don't know why I did.
Circle of hell. What are you doing?
I have Harbaugh khaki cargo shorts on right now. I don't know about you, man. I'm ready to go.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
State Farm.
With an enthusiasm unknown to man.
I am sitting in our office with basketball shorts on and slippers. So don't worry, you're good. No, it is one of those things. But Jay, you can't tell me you wouldn't be happy to have another year of Cassius Winston if he was going to stay and actually could.
Oh, don't make me cry.
But he,
don't
make me he cry. Would that's fall not into fair.
That young man, you know what? Because the last shot he took was like in the fourth quarter. He nailed it, and then he's done. So I don't know. Can we have both? Can we have like a league for those who didn't get to finish and a league for those who are about to take off? And we just got this double dip because I feel like we all deserve it.
We just throw away the G League and make a Corona League for one year.
Absolutely. And Corona, all Corona can sponsor.
Yeah, Corona needs the business. Right they can sponsor. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, whoever – Corona needs to sue whoever named this thing coronavirus because this is honestly their fault.
Well, 18 strands of the coronavirus ago, I believe it was a medical professional.
Oh, that's their fault. What the hell do they know? All right, well, let's talk about free agency. It's the one kind of thing we have to hold on to right now because it's the only active thing going on in sports. And, I mean, listen, there's a lot of different ways we could take this. There's a million different free agency moves. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at one, and I went through and highlighted everything. Jay, you're not going to like it, but I think we have to lead off with the biggest one of them all, and then we'll work.
Oh, yeah. Todd Gurley.
Todd Gurley, absolutely. Gurley. That is the fact that former U of M quarterback, former Patriots quarterback, Tom Brady decided to leave New England to go to Tampa Bay. And listen, I usually let you guys go first here. I'm going to go first, and I want to lead it off with a big resounding, I will always love number 12, but what the fuck were you thinking? Why the hell are you going to Tampa Bay? Listen, and then it started to take shape in a little bit on the fact that Melvin Gordon left the Chargers. That's a piece that would have been a real holding piece for him. But if you look at the available places he had to go to be a competitive starting quarterback in the NFL, the Chargers had to be number one. I don't have anything against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in that, but outside of maybe Evans, you could make an argument for a couple other pieces. That Chargers offense is far superior and ready. You can't control the defenses. Tom Brady doesn't play defense. He has no control over it, but he has control over who he plays with on his side of the ball. And Jay, I don't know about you, that Chargers team as a quarterback looks far more appealing than anything the Tampa Bay can throw my way.
I don't know. I feel like both teams are somewhat on equal ground right now, in a sense. I mean, is he going to make O.J. Howard look great? Yeah. Is he going to look great with Mike Evans? Yeah. And Ndamukong Suh coming back potentially.
I believe they were talking about that.
I think I saw that. I mean, that, and he's like, he gets to retire quicker and become like the best person and the youngest person in Boca. So like, I think he's angling for his next move in a way. He's going to be the best person in some retirement village. He'll have the best golf cart. I don't know why the fuck he went to Tampa. I have no idea. I'm just spitballing here. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't like the way it looks in a jersey. I thought for sure he would somehow still stay as a Patriot. Maybe go to a team that has more pieces than the Chargers or Tampa Bay collectively. But he didn't. He went to a place where he's going to make more money because of the taxing is different down there. It's going to be sunny. But why the fuck did he go to Florida? I still don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't. I mean, Jay listed off the players, Russ, but I mean, you look at that other side. You have Keenan Allen. You have Williams. You have at one point you had that two-headed monster of Melvin Gordon and Eckler. You have Hunter Hayes, their tight end. You have all these pieces on that offense that you would think. Listen, you're a Tom Brady. You've never been a mobile guy. You kind of live off that play action, which you would have had two running backs where any defense in the NFL has to bite on that play action just because who's back there. And then you have these big receivers and tight end to throw to. To me, it seemed like a slam dunk. Obviously, you know, O.J. Howard, Mike Evans, I believe Peyton Barber is still their running back. There's pieces there, but I feel like that he's a California kid, get back to Cali, play in the, you know, in that area. It seemed to make more sense to me, but what do I know?
No, I do think it's more of an offensive fit there, especially with them bringing in Chris Harris Jr., Brian Bulaga, and Linval Joseph. Like, the Chargers want to win now. I guess Cam Newton will have to do for them. But no, it made a lot of sense, especially with Tom Brady being from California. But out trying to figure out why he went to Tampa Bay outside of the fact that, hey, he's 42 and that's 75 in football years. And like Justin said, that makes sense. That's when you go to Florida. My only other theory, and you got to stick with me on this one, because it's a wild one, is Tom Brady and his 6 Super Bowl rings is a time traveler. So back when he was drafted, about 5 picks before him, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers selected a player of no consequence. It didn't really become much. Their next pick, after Tom Brady, they selected a quarterback. So we had a very near miss where Tom Brady was almost selected by Tampa Bay. It could have been his milk bag body in the combine that made him slip. He knew this. He traveled back in time to do this to avoid going to Tampa Bay so he could go to New England. He could get his 6 titles. He could be the best of all time. But now, as 2020 has shown us, and what every sci-fi movie with time travel has shown us, when you mess with the timeline, shit goes sour. And 2020, boys, it has gone sour. So this is Tom Brady trying to correct the timeline and going back to Tampa Bay to hopefully solve all of the mess that we've had in these 3 decade-long months that we've had. So thanks, Tom. You're a little late. We're almost all dying, but at Marty McFly fading back into the photo, hopefully 2020's health will fade back to us. And that's the only reason I can really say that he went to Tampa Bay.
So is the TB12 method like the vaccine we're looking for right now?
It is, actually. That's why he created TB12. Yeah, it would be far enough established by the time this came along for everyone to believe in it and be comfortable with understanding TB12 is what's going to save you from COVID-19.
Wait, I have one other theory to pile on. I forgot which Super Bowl it was, but Giselle went on a tirade about how he can't throw and catch the ball.
Oh, yeah, that was against
time.
The
Maybe that's what he's trying to do.
Yeah, it might have been against the Eagles or the second time against the Giants. Yeah.
Maybe he's Russ. He could probably time travel somehow to where he's actually throwing and catching the ball at the same time.
I'm into it. I think this is definitely it. This is definitely it.
I'm glad we solved this.
You know what? I didn't understand why he went there, and now I do. So I want to thank you two for fixing that for me. This next one to me, I don't know about you guys. I'm going to call it the biggest relief and there have been a couple of biggest reliefs for the Lions upcoming season. We'll get to the other ones. But for me, the biggest relief right now is we don't have to face Stephon Diggs twice a year anymore. He is now in a Buffalo Bills jersey. To me, this was the biggest surprise trade I didn't see coming, because if you're Minnesota, you've got a pretty complete offense to work on, and you trade your number one receiver to the Bills. Obviously, they get a first-round pick, a 5th, and a 6th-round pick, and then a 2021 4th-round pick, and all it cost them was Stephon Diggs and a 7th-round pick. But, Russ, when you look at this, I mean, one, huge relief that we don't have to deal with him anymore, but at the same time, what the hell are the Minnesota Vikings thinking?
Well, I love that they're thinking, you know what? We're going to put more on Kirk Cousins' plate. That's the way to win. Great. No, I'm super excited about that. I'm a Lions fan. And it really helps Buffalo become the favorite in the AFC East, potentially. I mean, Brady's out. This was a playoff team. Bills Nation.
I was just about to say, I honestly think this puts, assuming the Patriots don't realize that it wasn't Tom Brady, it was Bill Belichick. I think this puts the Bills at the top thing, because as of right now, unless something changes, Justin's clone in the NFL, Brian Hoyer, is going to be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots this year. So
there is
a bald head. Both are have allegiance to Michigan State for some weird reason. Brian Hoyer is the Justin Marcus of the NFL. He really is.
Not the comp I thought I was going
to
make today.
I'm always there to help.
I mean, my beard's coming in strong. I'm getting close to it.
Brian Hoyer has a beard? I'm sure he does. He's been on as many football teams as Josh Johnson has, so it's possible.
Did you know his middle name is Axel? That's a bit of a power move.
Like Axel Rose?
Axel, yes. Brian Axel Hoyer.
Nope, he is Axel Hoyer. I'm fine with it.
But no, I do think this absolutely makes the Bills a top contender for that Because listen, it's not going to be the Jets. It's not going to be the Dolphins. We know that. And so really New England is the only thing you have to compete with. And New England appears to be just as comfortable letting everybody leave if they want to leave. So,
yeah,
I see a little bit of Bill Belichick going, oh, well, this is over. Fire sale, fire sale.
They're going to get Trevor Lawrence.
It could happen. It could. It really could happen.
Oh, damn.
It really could happen. Really could happen. The next one is the one, because we have the big trade to talk about, and there are a couple of them, but there's one that surprised me more than any other one. But before we do it, Jay, you wanted to talk about it when we first started. You didn't want to talk about Tom Brady. You wanted to talk about Gurley. So here's your platform to talk about Todd Gurley going to that Atlanta offense with Matt Ryan, with Julio Jones, with Calvin Ridley. There's just a lot of pieces there, and this team, if they're ever going to make an offensive run, this has to be the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, I mean, they got rid of Freeman. They cut him, and they bring in Gurley. I think it could be a good spot for him, for Gurley, that is, to fix some of the mistakes he had this past year. Health is always going to be a question
mark
following him. Running back already has a very short lifespan, as we've talked about for, by the way, 100 episodes now. I still don't see it happening for Atlanta. So, like, I'm not sold on what they're buying or what they're presenting to us. So, yeah, Gurley is going to be great. It's an improvement from Freeman. Yeah, but there's still like this, like it's like Minnesota in hockey for me. Like Minnesota has all kinds of good talent in hockey, but they never put it together where like I respect them to ever go to a championship. And I know Atlanta's been there recently, but like, I don't think Gurley is still their answer. So I see them needing.
I don't think
more.
Even Matt Ryan wants to remember that he's been to a championship recently after how that championship went for them. So I'm with you.
No.
Listen, Lions obviously made a big trade for Lions' perspective. But to me, the biggest trade, and I don't know if you guys agree with me on this, but I see it as it affected one team way more than it affected the other in what they gave up. And Russ, that's the fact that your boy Deshaun Watson now does not have the number one receiver in the league to throw to anymore. What he got in return was a running back that can't stay on the field for more than 10 games a season because he breaks something early on in the year. Houston Texans traded DeAndre Hopkins and a 2021 fourth round pick to the Arizona Cardinals for running back David Johnson, a 2020 second round pick, and a 2021 fourth round pick. Now, I want to ask you, what does that say about the Texans' value that there was not a first round pick in there anywhere in order to get the number one receiver in the league? It was just an old running back who's not really who could still play, but maybe can't play the way we thought he could. And a fourth and a second round pick.
It says this, Bill O'Brien, you dumb moron idiot. It's just, oh my God. He's about as smart as a dish rag, apparently. This is stag. They traded him and Jadeveon Clowney, and they didn't get a first
absolutely
either. Let's talk about David Johnson's contract right now, making $10 million a year, which is a negative asset. He's an old, injured running back. You should have had to give the second-round pick with David Johnson just to get rid of him, right? Like, David Johnson, a second-round pick for you to tie my shoelaces. That's the trade that should have happened. So instead, they tack on arguably the best receiver and swap fourth-round picks. So you swap fourth-round picks to give away DeAndre Hopkins and give Arizona the luxury, the sweet, sweet orgasmic delight of paying DeAndre Hopkins what he's worth. Dear God, Houston, what are you doing? Would you rather have Randall Cobb and David Johnson for a combined $19 million per season or DeAndre Hopkins, who's making $16.2 million per this season? I don't think we need to set up a poll for this one. This might be one of the dumbest trades I have ever seen, and I'm still laughing about the Taylor Hall for Adam Larson trade. This is
it was one for one.
No, it's the thing too is you not only did that, but you just handed a team that's out in the West that's gonna, you know, you're gonna see more and more, a number one weapon to go with a first round draft pick quarterback, where the offense is literally tailored to do nothing but throw the football. You've got listen, we could talk about how you want. You have arguably one of the greatest receivers to ever play the game of football, probably in his last leg. He's probably going to retire here soon, but he gets to mentor Kyler for another year. He gets to team up with DeAndre, which means now there's no way you can you can double cover Larry Fitzgerald, because you can't leave. You cannot leave DeAndre Hopkins single covered. So between the two, if Kyler Murray doesn't throw for 5,000 yards this year, there's something wrong with Kyler Murray. Because we could put you in at quarterback, yeah. Russ, and you could probably go for 4,500, no problem, just on screen passes. So
probably, yeah, bubble screen.
And you can't forget about Christian Kirk in the slot for there's another piece. One other thing I'm thinking about too is I think Bill O'Brien saw how much J.J. Watt gives away in the form of charity that he just wanted to top him somehow by just giving away a player. He's like, I could do it.
God.
J.J. Watt's donating to build homes. I can donate to build a franchise.
Now, but see, the thing, though, is, again, like we have a draft show down the line, so we'll get to it a little more. But, Jay, if you're the Cardinals, do you just, like, tell everybody screw it and don't even look at running backs in the draft and just say, we know what kind of offense we're running. Why are we wasting a draft pick on something we're not going to use?
I mean, it's not a bad strategy if you just overcommit to wide receivers and have all kinds of options and you're spreading out defense.
I think Kyler is mobile enough that you don't really need a running back. You just let him run.
Mm-hmm.
Like a blocker, maybe.
If we have fantasy leagues, I'm dipping in the Cardinals pool.
If you're the Cardinals, the one thing you're missing in free agency, and I don't know that there's a lot out there in free agency to get unless you trade for it, is maybe do the same thing I've been saying for the last year that every team needs if you want to be successful, and that's a dual threat tight end. If you're the Cardinals, that's what you're looking for, because that completes your offense to the point that I don't know that anybody will be able to stop it. It's just too much in space. There's just too much in space to have to deal with. So we'll see. Lastly, before we get to the Lions, this one was one that I think it was kind of up in the air. Is he going to play again? Is he not going to play again? Was, you know, that final press conference his goodbye to the NFL and moving his team to another, or his family, it's basically a team with how many kids he has, to another state, his final goodbye. And that's not Kirk Cousins. Dear God, it is so hot in here. This quarantine's killing me.
Take two.
Phillip Rivers signing with the Indianapolis Colts on a one-year deal, though. That's what I didn't get. That's like saying, I want to keep playing, but I don't know that I want to keep playing. So let's try this out and see how it goes. So
he probably saw the history of the Colts having killed their quarterback. It was like, you know what? 1 year, let's see how it goes.
Yeah. But to me, it's a great signing. I mean, Rivers is a heck of a quarterback. He can sling it. Obviously I'm not his biggest fan, but I still, you know, you can't overlook what he did in the NFL. It's an immense talent to do. It's just the fact that, outside of T.Y. Hilton, Ebron's not there anymore. I know that kills Jay. It's one of those situations where he comes in a real state of flux, if you ask me, on how good is this offense really going to be, because who do they really have? You know what I mean, Russ?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton.
Exactly.
I don't know. I think they spent some draft picks on some younger guys. Mm-hmm. Some receivers recently. It's supposed to be a good receiver draft, but I mean, the best thing I can say about their offense is they've got a good offensive line. We know he likes surrounding himself with a lot of guys that look like him. You know, maybe that's what he's looking for. He's a taller guy. Hey, I'll go stand around this offensive line of all tall guys who are good. I don't know. He had better weapons in San Diego.
Oh, absolutely. He absolutely did. It's the curse of the Chargers, man. They just don't win. They do not win the playoffs. All right, well, before we get to the Lions and touch on a couple of those, obviously the Carolina Panthers decided we're going to say it once and for all. Cam Newton is no longer our quarterback. They signed Teddy Bridgewater. My personal opinion, it's a great signing. I like Teddy Bridgewater. I think he's a heck of a quarterback. We obviously saw him a little bit in Minnesota for those first couple of years before his injury, and he's kind of made his way back in the NFL. You know, seemed to be the heir apparent in New Orleans, but obviously New Orleans really is a big fan of Taysom Hill. Can't blame him for that. The NFL is shifting to more of those mobile, you know, get out and make plays kind of quarterback. That's something Taysom Hill can do. So Carolina signs Teddy Bridgewater. Jay, we're not going to talk about Teddy Bridgewater. We know he's a good quarterback. I'm sure he'll do well in Carolina. I'm asking you, landing spot for Cam Newton. And is it a starting spot?
I will say yes to starting spot. The where, though, God, I don't know. There's got to be someone who wants to take a chance on Cam Newton part two, because there's got to be a part two of Cam Newton. He's got this man, like, I understand abilities and confidence, and when he can finally put all that back together and stay healthy, and leaving Carolina is probably going to be a good thing for him. He'll find a job.
Yeah, like, but where, though? That's the thing. Literally New England, Chargers, and that's about it. Everywhere else.
What's Denver doing? Who's Denver's quarterback right now?
No.
John Elway, probably.
I forget who they signed.
They always get some guy and overpay for him.
I don't know, though, but Russ will find it. But I'm just saying, there's no other team that really is going, yeah, we could really use a quarterback.
No.
Drew Lock. Drew Lock. They drafted Drew Lock with an early pick a couple years ago. And see, I heard it. I don't remember who I heard this from, but it was a smart thing to me. If you're Cam Newton, you want your second act, and you want your second act to be one where you're not going to get your butt kicked. You want to play on a team that can compete. If you're Cam Newton, you're looking at the teams that have quarterbacks that are maybe not going to be around much longer, but have young pieces there that can go with it. So if I'm Cam Newton, and this is bad for us, I'm signing with a team. I'm signing with a team in Green Bay.
Say it.
Now, but see, Chicago doesn't know what they want to do with quarterback. That's the problem.
And they just traded Nick Foles too.
Yeah, they got Nick Foles and that contract. Really?
They gave up a fourth round pick to get Nick Foles in that contract when they could have waited.
I guess that does put the Jaguars in there. I mean, how in they are on Gardner Minshew, I don't know.
Yeah,
I like him. I think he's fun to watch. But I'm looking at a team like Green Bay because Devontae Adams isn't going anywhere anytime soon. You're just going to keep building pieces around that. You know, you have a decent enough run game. And Rodgers isn't old by NFL standards, but he's probably going to play a lot less because he's getting into more of that media side. He seems to be doing a State Farm commercial once a week now. So it's one of those things that you maybe sit for a little bit. They may find a wildcat situation to get you in, but a year or two, they do what they did with Brett. They just push Rodgers out and you're there. You're playing. You've got Devontae Adams to throw to. If I'm Cam, I'm looking to maybe try to find what's going to be the best situation 2 or 3 years from now, not the who's going to put me on the field right now. Every team's going to pay him. He's not going to take a job for free. So, but Russ, I just there's no open team. The Chargers, I feel like if the Chargers wanted him, they would have signed him by now. The only real opening is Jacksonville, in my opinion.
Well, see, the issue with signing him right now is he does have an injury issue. And no team can give him a physical right now because of the quarantine status on everybody. So I think that's going to have us hold out on wherever Cam ends up. But fittingly, I think we'll find out after the draft. And it's because I have two teams that made a lot of win-now moves in free agency, but we're expecting to target a quarterback early in the draft. The Chargers, like we kind of talked about, and the Dolphins, who both are unsettled at quarterback, looking at possibly getting Tua, and I think whoever doesn't get him will take the Cam Newton consolation prize and maybe a quarterback later in the draft, sit behind Cam for a year or two, and then move on from him and have their heir apparent take over. At 30 years old, I think that's Cam Newton's career. He's going to have 4 more years of placeholder. And then
can I throw one variation in there?
Yeah.
If you're the Steelers,
wouldn't you want
to be jumping on Cam Newton? Like Big Ben looks like he's about to formalize into a bush with how big his hair is and his beard is getting. I would plant him on the fucking sideline and put Cam Newton in over what they had to deal with all honestly, year last year.
If you're
Ben's
looking,
always getting hurt too.
I agree with you, Russ. The problem is, I feel like the early part of this draft is way too quarterback heavy to where I would think most teams, especially the Dolphins, you know, those kind of teams, I'd much rather pay the rookie contract for Herbert or Fromm or Tua than have to pay what Cam Newton's going to demand, because Cam Newton still thinks enough of himself that he's going to demand big quarterback money. And you don't know what you're getting, because the last couple of years in Carolina, Cam Newton wasn't worth big quarterback money. So it's just one of those things where I think if I'm one of those teams, I think I'd rather take the gamble on the the rookie quarterback and, you know, deal with that salary over having to pay Cam, you know, what he believes is he's worth top five quarterback money, even though he really isn't. But the other team that I'm surprised he's not looking at it, and I think it's more that he just doesn't want to shake his confidence. If you're Tennessee, you just signed Ryan Tannehill, who has not had a great NFL career. He had a nice – and he didn't even put up big numbers. He just kept teams in games. Can you honestly say, and Jay, you'll probably love this, Derrick Henry and Cam Newton on the field together just seems flat-out dangerous.
Oh, my God. Let alone I want to see Cam Newton succeed again, but that would be – that would be
interesting. Oh, it really would. So we'll see. I honestly – I don't know. I have a feeling wherever he signs, it's going to be a big surprise to all of us. We're not going to see it coming kind of thing. You can't rule that out. Brian Hoyer knows the playbook, but at the same time, if Cam Newton is available and they can get him for a price, I feel like Belichick will take the chance and, you know, ride out a couple years with Cam Newton. He can find a way to make that offense work. I mean, it's all small white receivers there anyway, so Cam doesn't have to throw the ball very far because we all know Cam can't throw the ball very far. So,
he can, just not accurately.
All right. Yeah, good for
him. He's working on
it. Okay,
let's
work over to the Detroit Lions. Lots of things have happened. Obviously, the big one, which we'll get to here in a second. The one for me that I was kind of – I was a little down on, and when you see who they signed and you get a feel for what they might be doing in the draft if certain things fall their way. Russ, I know I like this guy. I'm almost positive you were a fan of him too, but it's too hard to keep up with all the different Lions that we like and don't like. Mine was the fact that they cut Devon Kennard. I like Devon Kennard, and I don't understand. I just don't understand that one.
No, that was a bit of a surprise. It seemed like they were trying to save cap when they have the sixth most cap room in the league. That's the only defense I have for it. The guy was productive. He was I tied for the lead in sacks on the team, right? Like in a team that didn't have a pass rush, you got rid of one of the one guys who was giving you a pass rush. I'm very confused. He seemed to be on a reasonable deal. It's not like they were up against it. No, I expected a bigger splash in free agency to happen after that happened, and it really didn't. So
it really does tailor that question of, are they expecting to be going after a pass rusher in the draft to where they felt we need to get someone off? But the thing is, we have so many other guys that you could have gotten rid of and kept Kennard, and he still fits in a different spot for you.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. Obviously, Kennard signed a contract with the Arizona Cardinals, just another piece that Arizona seemed to do right with. So we'll take it.
Good weather, good talent.
Who do I know?
What the hell?
But obviously, and then of course, Lions signed linebacker Jamie Collins. Justin, we're actually going to change the Detroit Lions to now we are the new Detroit Patriot Lions. So that's the new team name. They're having the jerseys mocked up. I feel like they're going to look weird. Almost as weird as Tom Brady in a Buccaneers jersey.
Almost as weird. That's still probably the weirdest thing to come out of all this. But the signings to me... Yeah, the Patriot thing is interesting. You know, losing Darius Slay and getting Trufant, Jamie Collins. I mean, there's some things that happened at quarterback, which I understand we need depth, but I thought we would just address that with the first pick, which that kind of makes it interesting for the draft. I just feel like there's a lot of comings and goings. It almost makes me want to – and this is me just, like, trying to figure something out that we'll never know. But it's like all these people leave Detroit and all they do is talk shit about leaving. And they try to talk shit about Patricia and they congratulate each other and applaud each other on Twitter. And it's like this us against the coach mentality. I think the coach doesn't give a shit any of the names. And I think he wants his guys that are going to play for him win or lose. And he might be pushing out. Like we get rid of was it Quandre Diggs that we pushed out of Seattle? And then we get rid of Slay, and Slay just would not stop talking. And maybe Kennard's part of that faction. I don't know. It seems to me that we already blow, and maybe we don't care who's coming and going, and we're just trying to get people who are going to be yes men to Patricia. Because all the people that leave, all they do is talk shit about Patricia. So there's got to be some semblance of truth to that, like a very small amount. So That's
no,
the
no,
only
I'm with you.
I'm kind of
obviously
right
Lions also got rid of Graham Glasgow. He signed with the Broncos. Russ, I remember you and I texting about this one when it happened. Lions traded a late round pick, likely a sixth, for safety Duron Harmon from the New England Patriots, as well as likely a seventh round pick. So Lions didn't give up a lot to get something, but it's another one of those things of Patricia and Quinn just seem to be collecting Patriots in any way they can. So something's got to be coming. But Jay, you kind of mentioned it. You kind of tipped us right into the big category, which I figured would be the big thing for us to talk about. And that is the fact that, you know, we traded away Darius Slay pretty much right after signing Desmond Trufant, corner from the Atlanta Falcons, who to me, and I don't know how you guys see this, Jay, I see it this way. I don't see a lot of drop off here. I really don't. I think Trufant's going to be a good corner, and he may be a little bit less of a headache when it comes to running his mouth because he tipped a ball in the second quarter and that's all he did for the entire game. So is Slay being gone upsetting? He was a great corner. He was fun to watch, but I think everybody knew a year ago that Darius Slay wasn't going to be in Honolulu blue and silver much longer. So the fact that the Lions went out, patted themselves by getting a good corner who I don't feel is going to let us down as our number one corner. It doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, I don't have problems with it either. It's going to be a little bit quieter. I mean, I not that it really matters. I unfollowed him on my social because it's just like, oh, he's doing talking about the same stuff. And it's like, oh, here's a picture.
Well, that's
of
why he's so upset. It's because you unfollowed
him.
This is your fault.
Probably. I don't know. I don't think there's going to be a lot of drop off. No, I also think it's hard to be a superstar on the Detroit Lions. It's hard to be that featured piece. Kelvin was that piece, and he didn't even stick around. So I don't think we're.
But have you noticed a trend?
Have a superstar on
have you noticed
right
a trend
with how inept
think about
we are?
The, and honestly, think about the three biggest names we've had on the Detroit Lions since we've been alive and been Lions fans. And I can promise you, all three of them don't talk. They just shut up and play football. No one's ever heard Barry Sanders speak. We don't know that he can talk. Literally, he retired via fax. So Calvin Johnson just didn't show up to OTAs one day, and that's when we're like, oh, Calvin's not coming back. Matt Stafford doesn't even have social media. Like, these are guys who they go in and they play the game. Because guess what? What they do on the field, at least for the first two, Stafford leaves some to debate, but we've all spoken on the fact that when he can play and play healthy, Stafford is effective. All three of these guys just said, listen, you're going to know me by what I do on the field. Slay, you know him by the fact that he lets you know what he did on the field because he knows it might not be enough on the field for you to care. So, and I agree with you. It's going to be quieter. It is going to be quieter.
No, you're not
but
wrong.
I don't mind that. Like, listen, you can talk and talk and talk and talk. That's great. But you're the best player on a bad team. That doesn't speak well to you. You know, Barry Sanders was so good on a bad team that he actually carried them into the playoffs a couple of times. They didn't win in the playoffs, but he carried them into the playoffs. Calvin was so good that on a crappy, it might not have been the 0-16 team, but it was definitely close to that. He went after Jerry Rice's records on a crappy team. You don't see that nowadays. Bad teams don't even have great players. So it's just one of those things where was Slay good, Russ? Yeah, he was good. But was Slay this lockdown number one corner in the league? You just couldn't get the ball by him? No, because we saw time and time again, receivers could get by him, and he got lucky on a tip. He got away with something, or he had so much help on the backside that he didn't really have to sell out for the play.
I don't know, man. I see. Slay
I'm not saying he's not a top five corner, but in Slay's head, he's the
best
corner.
Yeah, maybe not in
ever.
The next couple years.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but I also think that the top 10 players at a position, but at any position, more than likely have the idea. That
okay, I'm with you on that.
I'm the best in the league, and I want a guy to have that bolster. I want him to have that confidence. He might be wrong. He might be like, hey, you get him alone, you know, him and his wife or something, and you go, hey, you know. He's better than me, right? But that, you don't got to say that shit in public. I'm fine with guys not being humble as long as you're not putting other guys down. But no, it stings. I think it is a bit of a downgrade, but you're right. Trufant is still the number one corner. Day-to-day NFL fans, we're not going to see that big of a difference. I still think it is a downgrade, but Slay then went and signed the richest AAV contract for a corner in the league. So that's what they were getting rid of him for. I'd like to see them go and do something with the about $6 million difference there. Oh, wait, they freed up another $6 million in cutting Kennard. So we got 12 that I'm waiting for them to do something on from these moves, from getting rid of talent, from downgrading talent.
Cam Newton.
No, I honestly, in all reality,
damn
I
you. Well, I was going to say, though, like, Darby's out there. Logan Ryan's out there. Do either of those names interest you guys to put him on the opposite side?
The one that interests – and corners are great. I agree with you on that. I feel like we've stacked up enough in the secondary to maybe move some stuff around. Coleman is a more than capable number two. The guy for me – and I don't know why no one's touching him. You might know something I don't know about this. Why has no one gone after Leonard Floyd from the Bears? That guy is a great rusher. He's still out there. Earlier today, I saw him reported as a Rams linebacker, but he's not. He's not on their roster. He's not anything. He's still listed as a free agent on everywhere. So why no one's gone after Leonard Floyd, I don't know, unless he's just holding out for this sweetest deal he can get his hands on.
It could be.
Young guy. He was only drafted in, like, 2015, I believe. So
why do I – Pro Football Reference has him with the Rams.
Everywhere,
right now.
I mean, like I said, I saw that today, but everywhere else I looked, he was listed as a free agent. So, I mean, he may have signed a contract, but there's not even a Twitter report on his contract. So, it's just one of those things. So, that would be something I'd like to see. But I still think that with that space, I still think the Lions are keeping an eye on guys who may have expiring contracts in the next year to try to pull off a sign-in trade, or they'll get the guy to agree to sign. They'll make a trade, maybe with that pick to with that third overall pick to try to get a real big name that they can make a deal with and kind of turn things around.
Interesting. Well, they do have $30 million exactly. in cap space right now, 6 months in the league. So they can take on almost
exactly.
anyone.
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah, absolutely. We have a 5'5 running back, great agile skills, and his – touchdown celebration is he pulls a muffin out of his jersey and he eats it. And I'll never forget that, man.
Didn't happen.
A couple other ones. Oh God, yeah, it was so cold that day. A couple other ones. Rams signed former Lions defensive tackle A'shaun Robinson. Lions signed defensive tackle Danny Shelton. The one I wanted to talk about though is because it means if everything goes right next year, it means absolutely nothing to us, but it also gives you the most confidence in the world. And that's the fact that the Lions signed backup quarterback Chase Daniels, been on the Bears, been on the Saints. But hey, you don't have to like it, Jay, so you can go first. But what I like about it, he's actually played in the NFL. Like, he's actually snapped the ball and thrown it before. He actually has NFL experience. So if Matt goes down again this year, we have someone that's actually played football in the NFL backing him up. Something we haven't had in a while.
Okay, but – if Matt goes down again this year, it justifies taking Tua. Like that's the thing. I don't want a Band-Aid approach this shit.
No, Chase, that's great. But what I'm saying, Jay, is I didn't take Tua out of that equation for the draft. But guess what it does? It means Tua doesn't have to play this year.
But if Stafford goes down,
I don't care. It's likely because he's getting his butt whooped, getting hit time and time again. We don't need a guy who's got, like, literally the most fragile hip in the world getting killed out there, too, in his rookie year of what we're hoping will be our next quarterback if we take him. So let Chase Daniels go out there. We've seen Bevel's ability to tailor this offense to any quarterback. Driscoll didn't look that bad when he played. The dude looked like fucking Michael Vick for a couple games because he was just running everywhere. So – he can make Chase Daniels work. Chase Daniels, I've seen him play. I remember Chase Daniels at University of Missouri. The guy ran like an air raid system. I've seen him play at some of these stops. He can throw the ball. He made the Bears look awesome last year against us. He's a capable quarterback, and it gives us that guarantee that Tua doesn't have to see the field in this next season, whenever this next season is, unless Tua is out there killing it in practice, killing it in preseason, and it's just one of those things where you go, we can't not have him on the field. So that's why I'm saying it's a solid backup so that if Matt goes down, hopefully we get a full year of Matt Stafford. I think in this offense, Matt Stafford and a year more to understand it, other players to really get into it. Obviously Hockenson being able to develop for a year. I think Matt Stafford could have an amazing year, but we need that contingency in case he gets hurt again. And it will likely, if he goes down again, he'll never play in a Detroit Lions jersey again. The Lions will trade him as soon as they can after that. But I like Chase Daniels being there.
All right. So then I will be okay. With Chase Daniels That's it. If we don't, then it's just
we've had this conversation. Well, we'll have it, I'm sure, a few more times before the draft. I don't want Tua Tagovailoa on this team. It's not even for the fact of the hip. I personally don't think Tua is the third or fourth best quarterback in this draft. Maybe fourth, but I feel there are better players. Unfortunately, Tua went to the big school. He's got the national championship, and he's got the name behind him to make him seem better. I would, if you're going to tell me we have to draft a quarterback, I'd rather see us draft Justin Herbert with that third pick, and I could live comfortably with that pick. The only issue with that, Russ, please don't cringe. The last time we drafted a quarterback from Oregon, it did not go very well. So I'm a little nervous there
about that draft spot.
Actually, that might have been that draft spot. Joey went to Oregon.
Who was it?
Joey fucking Harrington.
Joey fucking Harrington.
And I like Jake Fromm. Russ, you and I have talked about Jake Fromm to an extent. I think Jake Fromm is going to be an elite quarterback in this league if he can get into the right position. And I think Bevel's offense fits him for that. It's an offense that isn't home run ball every play, but we have the players on the outside to go for the home run ball. So I don't think Tua is. Now, I hope I'm proven wrong. If we draft Tua, I hope Tua turns out to be the second coming, and I was just totally wrong, because if I'm wrong, it means I'm right, and we've got a great player on our team, but I don't think it's going to happen. So.
No, I would say it's unlikely. It tends to be when an NFL team makes a move like this, it's because they're sure where their starter is. They're not bold enough. Just no one in the NFL is bold enough to really make a move to set up your backup when you're about to do something crazy like trade the incumbent starter. That's just not typically how NFL teams operate. But speaking of how NFL teams, at the end of this contract, Chase Daniel will have fleeced $47 million from NHL franchises over 14 seasons for doing relatively little. He is Sean Hill.
He is Sean Hill. I'm not disagreeing with you one bit.
Right. A perfectly adequate backup. Right. And that's fine. We needed that because the Bilal Driscoll show, we couldn't take that again. And it makes sense for a team that is led by a coach and a GM who might be knocking on the door if this goes south. So it makes sense to have something there in the case that Stafford goes down. If he does, is he going to do great? Well, look what he did in Chicago last year. We might not completely drown. That's the nice thing I can say. But it makes sense as an insurance thing, whichever way they go. He can make sense whether they do Tua or Stafford, but again, going on past precedents, this probably means, hey, you got Stafford, you got Daniel. Please get another guard so that they don't die.
Well, but see, and the big issue to me is I think that the one thing the Lions didn't do right in this signing, they got a good backup. They're not paying, you know, an unimaginable amount for him. They were paying what we probably should be paying. And we're comfortable in that situation. But, and I don't know how you guys feel, Russ, I feel like they just undervalue, they lessen the value of that third pick now. Cause now everyone knows we're not going for Tua because we just signed a backup. So now that those Miami teams, those Charger teams, those teams that might've wanted to creep up into that higher pick to be able to guarantee Tua, now they go, well, you don't really need Tua. So maybe this pick isn't worth what it used to be worth because we know you're not taking Tua.
What helps is Washington traded for Kyle Allen too. So they devoted some resources to potentially a backup and have Haskins there too. So if the Lions showed their hand a little bit, so did Washington, which hopefully buoys the trade value a little bit. But yeah, if you were throwing a smoke screen, this is our hit to the smoke screen.
No, I'm with you. The last couple that I had, obviously Russ mentioned it earlier. Jay didn't know anything about it. Bears trade 2020 fourth round compensatory pick to the Jaguars. For Nick Foles, that means they pick up his four-year, $88 million deal. Foles leaves nearly $19 million in dead cap money behind as he heads north. So that's fun. And then these are the ones that I'm putting question marks on. I want to know real quick. I want to put these out here. So first one's going to go to you, Russ. Why the hell did the Bears sign Jimmy Graham?
That was my there number one question. Yeah. Signing. I have no idea. He's 33. He got 5 touchdowns in 32 games with Aaron Rodgers throwing to him. Yeah. Hey, Aaron Rodgers is good. Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, no, it's.
I don't get that. I'm thrilled as a Lions fan, though.
This is fantastic. Jay, over to you. This one, question mark for me in the way of I want to know what they were thinking. Did the Browns just kind of give Baker Mayfield the, we found someone that can play too, so you better start playing well? The Browns just signed Case Keenum as their backup quarterback.
I think it's the equivalent of a Chase Daniel situation. They have their number one guy. I don't think Baker's got to worry about it. He's got that city by the balls. If I'm Baker Mayfield, I'm going, okay, yeah, you can be the second string quarterback. And then he just goes back to business as usual. So I'm not too worried about it. Baker has that team, man. I mean, the thing with Cleveland is weird is that before we even started last year's season, we looked at the names on the roster and we're like, holy shit. Right.
It got even better in this offseason. Still didn't work. So, yeah.
So, I mean, they got to get the chemistry down. I'm not too worried about having their backup quarterbacks.
I'll say it right now. This is a very early thing. We got to see how preseason goes and offseason and all that. But I'll say it right now. It's not Baker Mayfield. That team goes as far as Nick Chubb takes them. That guy is a beast of a running back. He's, in my opinion, a top 3 running back in the league when he's on the field. And he's playing for the Cleveland Browns. So that says a lot about him. Russ, over to you. This one's not a question mark. It's more of a, Did they just do the final little piece that might put him over the top to now be officially contenders? The New Orleans Saints sign Emmanuel Sanders to go with Michael Thomas, and they pick up Malcolm Jenkins.
That just Malcolm Jenkins homecoming is nice, and the Emmanuel Sanders pickup, it just makes sense. It just makes sense. That is exactly the kind of move that a Super Bowl contender makes. In the run-up. It's not super flashy. It's not super special, but he's a guy that outperforms expectations, and you need that. No, I like it. It definitely gets him
closer. All right, Jay, over to you. No one enjoyed Hard Knocks more than you. I remember texting you after every episode. Can you explain to me, if you're John Gruden, why the hell you signed Marcus Mariota to be your backup quarterback?
Oh, God, because John Gruden thinks he's the smartest fucking man on the planet. Like, that is nothing but him going, oh yeah, that's my guy. And like,
Spider White's your banana all day, man.
He just thinks he's the smartest
all day.
Guy in the room.
Other backup quarterback signed. Colt McCoy got signed to the New York Giants to be the backup for Daniel Jones. Last one, you're both going to touch on this one because I think this one's the funniest of them all. Russ, I'll let you go first though. Why did anyone in the NFL sign Jason Witten?
It wasn't to their coaching staff or their play-by-play staff.
No, they want him to actually play. And he's
that was Gruden,
yes,
right?
Yes, he's going to Vegas. But he's at best like maybe the third tight end in that option. And I'm looking here to see if I can find the number. Witten is 37 and went for 529 yards and 4 touchdowns last season in an offense where I think everybody had to touch the ball as often as they could. But that's what I was looking for his name. He's they've got Darren Waller, who, if you watched Hard Knocks, was a beast.
Yeah, good.
So it's one of those ones where I look at it and I'm like, Gruden, you just went 0-for-2 on pickups to two guys that no one else in the league wanted.
Yeah, I tell you what, man, you need a good voice in the locker room, I guess. Well, I don't know. This is indefensible. This is a dumb.
Jay, is it really just a fancy way of signing a guy to be a future Hall of Famer, if not could contend to be in the Hall of Fame? Is it really just a great way of signing a player coach where you can maybe have him coach up Waller a little bit for the next year or two?
I mean, if they have to use a roster spot to have someone talk to
someone,
I get
you.
It's like just show up and talk. All he's going to do, he's going to take 3 steps back and put his hands up, and that is the extent of Jason Witten's career. He's literally just going to pass by.
It's been crazy. It's all going to get a little bit crazier. That's going to do it for us here on Armchair Sports Talk. Listen, I usually we end the show the exact same way. We end the show the exact same way every time. And I'm going to end it a little differently today. Same same saying, but it has a little bit of difference. And then I'll thank these guys. But for me, that one small step for us, one giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting today and for the next little while, it has to be do the right thing. Do the things that they're telling you to do to be safe. And it'll be one small step for you, but it'll be one giant leap forward and giving everybody a great chance at tomorrow. And that's it absolutely has to be that way. And there's no two guys I wish to be well and get through this more than my co-host, Russ Ivanek.
Oh, that was beautifully put. I was going to make a crack about we're all playing prevent defense now, but you said it very eloquently. Well,
I appreciate it, buddy. Yeah.
Wholeheartedly.
Thank you, thank you. And my other co-host, Sergeant Salty Justin Marcus.
Dude, I can't even make fun of anything now. I feel like you just introed a 30 for 30 for me. I needed that.
And like I said, ending it a little different tonight. Just be safe out there. Armchair Sports Talk.
Brotherhood of